MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Kwaku Debra. He's a former banking executive, co-leader of African Financial Services Practice of Partners in Performance. Kwaku, appreciate the time today. South African banks, everyone accepts that they're resilient, that they're world-class, but according to a recent BankScope report, actually they are not some of the best in terms of profit. Globally, they're fairly weak on profitability.
Hi, Simon. First of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show. Good to be here. I think to your question, you're right. There are a couple of things that affect the profitability and performance of banks, not just South African banks, but including African banks. First of all, there is sort of the more broader economic headwinds, right?
Sure.
And certainly in South Africa, the instance of high inflation, high interest rates, which seems to have sort of permeated the last couple of years. I think the second piece around the impact on customers, right? So you're having businesses being squeezed on the margin, interest rates going up. That has resulted in a higher than expected impairment and credit losses when it comes to banks. There's a piece around sort of some of the regulatory changes that are also affecting South African banks. So you have IFRS 9 implementation.
Mm-hmm.
You also have implementation of Basel III, and all of these things, you know, really pushing banks to put in more capital into their businesses. And then lastly, there's sort of changes in customer demographics. Customers are becoming more demanding in terms of pricing, in terms of value proposition. And you put all of this together, and what you have is a very challenging situation when it comes to profitability and performance of banks. South African banks have been doing a good balancing act when it comes to juggling and addressing these four drivers. We think where we believe there's an opportunity is on the cost efficiency, operational effectiveness side of things. Cost income ratio, which is effectively the measure of how operationally efficient a bank is, tends to be quite high among South African banks. So ranging from the mid-50s to sort of lower 60s, right? But certainly high compared to other regions in the world. There's been a lot of work that has been done, but we believe there's an opportunity here to significantly optimize costs in a very sustainable way. And sustainable basically meaning you take out the cost and it doesn't creep back after a couple of months or a couple of years. And we think this is where the opportunity is for South African banks.
And the key thing with costs, I mean, absolutely, in the cost-to-income ratio, it's the costs that the banks can really manage. What you don't want to do is sort of just a blanket cut costs 10% or no more business travel or something. It needs to be a much more thought-through process as to how you sustainably cut costs without impacting the performance.
Simon, I agree with you. What we've seen in the past, and I think one of the things that we as sort of partners in performance have been continuously working with our clients on in the financial services and elsewhere, is how do you think about taking costs out sustainably? And to the point that you just made, what we've realized is in the past, sometimes the cost optimization philosophy has been what we call the lawnmower approach. And what that means is, you know, a top-down decree which says across all cost centers, cost must go down by 15% over the next 3 months. And we found that that approach doesn't typically work, because what you're going to find is that in 3 months, cost is going to go down, and then in 6 months, it's going to rear its ugly head somewhere else in the organization. What we believe really works is actually involving the organization in a much more open, frank, data-based discussion around what are the real underlying drivers of cost in the organization, and tackling those underlying drivers of cost versus the top-down mandates that you mentioned. And I'll give you an example, working on one of the financial institutions in the country, and an area that they wanted to look at was the cost of their contact center. And the approach that effectively worked was actually drilling down and understanding what is really costing this. Because when you look at a contact center as an example, there are multiple things that could drive cost. There could be utilization, there could be availability, there could be occupancy, a whole bunch of cost drivers. And what we found was that the real driver was average handling time. And what that means, Simon, is how much time a contact center agent will spend on a call with a client.
Yeah.
And we found it to be somewhere in the region of about 15 minutes, right? Not only is that inefficient, but from a customer service point of view, no customer wants to be holding on for 15 minutes for you to solve a query, just bad customer service. And so really understanding that that is a driver and setting some very clear initiatives and targets around moving that from, let's say, 15 minutes to 5 minutes, right, is what is a sustainable change in behavior that drives the cost optimization agenda. So that's what we sort of talk about when we say moving from the lawnmower approach to a more sort of collaborative, data-driven, focused approach when it comes to cost optimization.
And in that example you've given there is also to use transparency, to involve those contact center agents and explain to them the hows and whys so that they're very much on board and supportive of the process, which will then make it highly more efficient.
And that is exactly right, Simon. I think you've hit the nail right on the head. South African banks, by definition, tend to be very complex organizations, right?
Mm-hmm.
With very matrix or hybrid systems where you have different people reporting to different people. And having a single point of accountability becomes very important.
Yeah.
And so the benefit of actually going down to the level of understanding the cost driver is also identifying who is the person that is responsible for making that change. And in the example that we are discussing, Simon, instead of, you know, allocating that cost optimization responsibility to some executive who really isn't involved in the day-to-day running of the business, it then makes sense for you to look at who is the supervisor who has the ability to move the KPI from 15 minutes to 5 minutes. And by doing that, you have a lot more accountability, you have a lot more buy-in into the initiative, and you can also influence the behavioral part of the organization, right? Which is what really drives the sustainable cost reduction.
And then ultimately, you get the better client as well because less time on the phone. We'll leave it there. Kwaku Deborah, co-leader, African Financial Services Practice of Partners and Performance. Really appreciate the time today.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.